Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
It's Evan Giddings, it's Dan Avone, Pasta, Carter Chickering behind the glass today.
Oh, you know, we got the A-team in the building.
No doubt. And all we need is Jersey Ken to somehow squeeze in there.
He's listening.
And then we would have like a perfect, like, I don't know, 900 pounds of producers in there.
But hey, easy, all right? We got resolutions
but it's well proportioned. I mean, Carter goes at 6'8", and, you know, Jersey Ken is a well-proportioned young man.
Well, thanks to Carter, I think we would have the tallest average producing crew in all the West Coast, because the Rizzy, you know, me and Steve are like 5'10", extraordinarily average. Carter brings us up to a height where it doesn't matter which other starting four or five in radio we're matched up against. We got the advantage.
Yeah.
We can always throw it to Embiid.
I would say that in terms of the, you know, they always say like, you've got to play sports a little bit in order to sort of understand. Sorry, that went right over my head. But now I acknowledge it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got to, you've got to play sports a little bit to sort of understand it, right? If you're going to talk about it, like, you got to, like, you don't have to play collegiately or even in high school, but you got to, like, have played at some point.
Or
right?
Just have been a part of a team sport at
to
any
get some
level.
Sort of insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a prerequisite, whatever. But I would put this.
But you can tell when someone hasn't.
I would put this crew in 95.7 The Game, and I'm talking in its totality as far as the producers and on-air talent against anybody that's talking sports in this market. If we were to go pound for pound, roster for roster in terms of athletic abilities, and if we were to get into a 5-on-5 basketball game or a softball game for real, there's nobody that could touch us.
Now, there are some people at this station.
Of course, I couldn't play because I'd be a ringer, you know.
Who are deceptively unathletic. Like, there are some people here that you think have game, and they are not to be named. You think are good at sports, and let me tell you, they are not. Now, we have also some people that are that are deceptively athletic, can neither confirm nor deny, that are deceptively athletic. Like, I bet Steve over there, yeah, he'd probably walk around like it's, you know.
Pasta's all baseball, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. The baseball players, and I've got a soft spot for them, you know I do, those are the ones you got to look out for, because you never really know how athletic a baseball player is. Because the sport doesn't necessarily lend itself to displaying ridiculous athleticism.
Cecil Fielder.
Well, Cecil Fielder was, dude, you know Prince Fielder, his son?
Yeah.
Could dunk.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, he's like 310 pounds.
Yeah.
The guy was a beast. I mean, Mookie Betts might be the best athlete in all of sports.
I'm not sure about that.
Have you seen? He does everything. He can play basketball. He can play soccer.
He really might be.
He's a 300 bowler. He can golf, and obviously he's an MVP candidate. I'm just saying, man, you better watch out for those baseball guys. Have you seen some of the first pitches that basketball players throw?
Yeah,
dude,
it's bad.
It's embarrassing. Like, Joel Embiid is, you know, great athlete, all the rest.
Can I give you just a side story? I shouldn't.
Might as well throw underhand.
So there, I was doing sports, and I was on TV, and so I didn't, my producer said that there was somebody throwing out the opening pitch for the New York Mets opening day. And it was a political, I believe it was the governor. And usually my producer's got to fill me in with, like, who this guy is. But it's like, this guy is, like, you know, one of those terrible, terrible arms. And so this, I shouldn't even rehash this. So this guy.
Nobody's listening.
So this guy throws the opening pitch out. And he literally, he's like the governor of New York. He literally throws this thing into the opposing team's dugout. And he's aiming for the catcher. And so I just go off on him on the air. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. Like, can we at least get it within the neighborhood? I'm like, what are you, blind? This is ridiculous. And as it turns out, he was legally blind. And I dealt with calls. I had to go down and I had to apologize. I went straight to the news director's office. And, like, you know, and I, of course, blamed it on my producer. And he got canned. No, I won't do that.
Jesus, Devone. I don't know this side of you. Well, Carter, Steve, look out. Don't give Devone
I'll throw anybody under the bus to save my ass.
Don't
kidding
give
me?
Devone any wrong information.
Well, let's get back to the Golden State Warriors. So do you want,
yeah, they got
you
any
want
blind
the tees?
Kids? What?
Do you want to get to my tease here? About this is sort of tongue in cheek, so I'm not like, you know.
No, I've been seriously trying to think about. So Devone,
all right,
got like 45 minutes ago, was like, I got a player for the Warriors that I'm starting to come back around on. So it has to be someone that's that has surfaced in trade talks before. I can only assume, and I would imagine it's somebody that's been connected to the Warriors in the last.
Not
year?
Really. He's been connected to a lot of teams.
A lot of teams.
So, a lot of people, I think it's been more of sort of the text line, and people are like, yeah, we need to sort of kick the tires on this guy.
So it's, actually, all right, one sec. So I know it's not Jimmy Butler to bring people in. There was a report today from The Athletic.
And you know I'm out on aging free agents.
Yes,
I don't care
yes.
what it is that they've done in the past. I'm all about today and going forward.
Sure.
And the Warriors are an old basketball team, so miss me with all these old guys.
They are, especially if they trade Kuminga. But you're out on Butler. Sounds like the Warriors are out on Butler for now, and acquiring him via trade at the deadline is going to be something they're not interested in. They've had no trade talks with Miami. Paul George can be traded, but probably is not an option. Markkanen cannot be traded. My guess is you want Zach LaVine.
No, although Zach LaVine, you can't get Zach LaVine anymore. Zach LaVine was one of those guys that was a bargain basement deal. He's playing, as are the Chicago Bulls, much better. And he's not on the market anymore. If you want him, you got to give up Kuminga and the entire farm. The idea that Zach LaVine, remember in the offseason, we don't want Zach LaVine, and it just became this take that everybody bought into. Guess what? Chicago isn't shopping him anymore because Zach LaVine is good.
Well, I think they might be open to substantial offers. They're 15-19, but you're right. And actually, the Warriors, they could have gotten him. They turned down
they
a deal that was Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins for Zach LaVine.
Should have.
You think so?
Zach LaVine has played so much better, which is why.
Well, he's been awesome this year. He's shooting 50% from the floor, 45% from three.
And he's been good, really active, and just changed his game. And that's one of those. Like, I think a lot of us don't watch Zach LaVine, and we just sort of like, yeah, follow the leader. We don't want Zach LaVine.
So why are they below 500? I honestly haven't watched a lot of Bulls basketball. My guess would be they don't defend worth a lick.
They're just not good.
But he's good.
He's been really good.
Okay.
He's been really good. Now, you can't get Zach LaVine. Oh, so somebody
but
on the text line. I like this. So we're playing, you know, can you guess the guy Danovo wants to trade for? Brandon Ingram. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to give it away.
It's not him?
It's not him, but...
Is it his teammate?
It's getting close.
The big fella? Yeah. Go for it.
Zion Williamson. I think you need to reconsider. If they are willing to, like Zach LaVine over the offseason, if you can get him for a deal...
Yeah.
I began to think about this. If Zion Williamson is healthy, which is the big if...
No.
He is not good... He is a dominant basketball player. You win with, and he's 24, 25?
I think he's 24 years old.
24 years old, and if you can give up something that you're willing to discard and you hit with this guy, now you become the Warriors that everybody is sort of like trying to get back in the winner's circle with these ridiculous proposals of Jimmy Butler or Markkanen or Paul George or whatever. That makes sense. And it also makes sense not only for Steph Curry, but for your future. The big question is, can he play? But he did last year. And when he does play, how's this? In terms of in-the-paint scores, the three best in-the-paint scorers in my lifetime are Shaquille O'Neal, Giannis, and the big guy Zion Williamson.
Mm.
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
About it?
I'm like, I'm bringing you in.
I've considered this. This was after the Cleveland loss. Like, to me, everything is still on the table. I know the Warriors just won by damn near 40 points, but they're a game above 500. Depending on what happens tonight, they play Memphis at 5:30. I think Granny will have Warriors live at 4:30.
Did you just relinquish that position? Is that what's going on with you?
Well, if I do this show, I generally don't work Saturday nights.
Gotcha.
I also, as you know, I have another gig.
The Galloping Gales?
Yeah, so I got to go call games for St. Mary's, and if they conflict, then I will call a game for St. Mary's.
By the way, I saw because of you, and I'll let you get back to your point here.
I don't know, that's fine.
Because of you, I watched, I think it was last Saturday, I watched Utah State the entire game.
They're freaking good.
Really good. Who'd they win on the road? They beat last week. It was nationally televised.
Was it? Well, it must have been conference play, right?
I mean, that is a good basketball team.
They're 13-1. Oh, they beat was it Nevada or
no.
San Diego State?
No, San Diego State at San Diego State.
Won by a point.
And San Diego State, and I was like, I got to watch this, you know.
By the way, that head coach is in his first season. He's
really?
I want to say he was an assistant at Alabama. So he's been a part of some good programs. But yeah, they're freaking good, man.
They can shoot it, and they got like a good sort of inside-out game a little bit.
Their backcourt is, I think, a top five duo in terms of scoring in the nation. They're freaking awesome. They ransack St. Mary's, neither here nor there. But anyway, so on weekends,
gotcha. That's
where I will go to do games. I'll be at the Warriors game tomorrow, but I think Grandy might be doing that one as well. I'll be on Tuesday against Miami. So I'll have all my Jimmy Butler takes prepared. The thing about Zion is, and I'm not out on him. To me, why I would be in on Zion Williamson is if you think the season is going to the crapper. Because you can't rely on him to be healthy. He's currently dealing with the same hamstring injury that plagued him, I believe it was 2 years ago, in which he played like 30 games. So it's kind of a chronic thing that he's dealing with. Yeah, when he played 29 games, ironically, he was an all-star. But Zion Williamson, you can't expect to be on the floor this season. He's only played 6 games. Like, so if you're trading for him, I don't think it's a trade that is you can rely on helping you this year. It's a trade that you would look to build around him for your future. And he'd be a fantastic second option or even sometimes leading man with Curry. But if you are to, and this is where I think it's important, the messaging from the front office has been maximizing Steph's window. I think Zion Williamson maximizes the Warriors' window. I don't think he maximizes Steph's window, and that's why I don't think it would happen. But if you could buy low on a project player who I think is the youngest guy that has superstar potential, I would absolutely pick up the phone and make that call.
Oh, well, maybe I should have prefaced it that I'm out on this season. I'm one of those that thinks that the best thing that can happen to the Warriors is that prior to last night's...
Well, you didn't like him hitting 22 threes against the Sixers?
No, that was amazing. And I would love to see if there's more of that, if they can recapture that magic, then sure, let's have it. But I unfortunately think that was sort of the outlier. And
yeah, House of Prime Rim better watch out.
I know, I saw that. I think that the best thing that can happen to this team is to go to the lottery. I really do. That's where they're at. And nobody wants to admit that. Nobody wants to admit a rebuild. They're always talking about winning one for Steph. But if you can somehow look to the future with lottery and picks and a Jonathan Kuminga and a younger base And I know, I get it. It doesn't really work in terms of Steph's world, but it's not going to work regardless because there is no magic pill out there that you can take that's going to bring a basketball player in here that's going to match Steph Curry's next 2 years of trying to win an NBA championship. So with that being said, I would go lottery, and I would look at guys like Zion Williamson. If Zion Williamson, for some reason, and this is a big if, but he did play the majority of last season, and if he can be that guy again, you vault now to the top of the Western Conference, in my estimation. If Zion Williamson is playing, and Steph, even at Steph at age 37 or 38, and Jonathan Kuminga, and then throwing whatever you get out of the lottery and a younger basketball team, that's something I can get excited about. But I know nobody wants to. We all want to win now, right? We don't have the level of patience to sort of reset and rebuild for a year or 2 years from now.
Well, I don't think it's about us, and I don't even think it's about members of the front office so much as it is. You think Steph wants to wait through a rebuild and spend the last few years of his career on a team that's a lottery team? Like, I think you're right. Like, for the Warriors, long term, it would probably be best to start thinking about how you can acquire better young talent. Because as we've seen, if you can find, like, Kuminga is a good piece. If he had another or two good young pieces alongside him, you could see a future. I think one of the reasons I'm so reluctant to trade him at the deadline is because he's literally the only guy that I have reason to believe in right now. So you're right. If you can acquire more young talent, Zion is maybe a little more proven than a lottery pick, but his injury concerns are the reason why he's gettable. Sure, but I don't think you can sell Steph Curry on that. And that, to me, is the biggest hurdle at this point. And I don't know, maybe you can. Maybe you can say, hey, Steph, you know, we're not really going anywhere this year.
But don't you think Steph you don't want that they're not going anywhere? I know he wants to win, but don't you think Steph is a smart guy?
Yeah, I don't think he's winning. I don't think he thinks they're winning a championship as currently constructed. That's why the Butler thing was interesting to me, is because I actually do think that alongside Draymond and Curry in a postseason series, I could see that team being pretty dangerous. Not winning a championship, but again, it's to me the idea, and this has been my biggest issue with the Warriors, is like they're still sending us these messages and they're marketing them being or trying to get into contention. It's like, you're not. You know, I don't think this team is winning a title this year. Depending on if they do anything at the deadline or this summer, they might not be a title team next year. But the one place they can't be, I think, if you have Curry on the roster, is a bottom feeder. And he literally said that, I forget which time this summer, but he's like, I'm not playing for a bottom feeder. I don't want to be a bottom feeder. And so if you play poor basketball and you struggle as a group, I think you risk losing Steph.
You think he'd walk?
No, but I don't think it's out of bounds for him to say, all right, well, if you don't want to do anything to help me win, you know, I kind of want to try and chase number five. Would you be willing to put me somewhere that does?
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that he's, and I wouldn't take advantage of it, but I just don't see that in his DNA. I think playing for one team and being in this area, him putting on another uniform, I don't think it's in his future. Could be wrong. And you don't want the Warriors, again, you have to say the right things. You can't say, well, we know you're going to be here regardless.
But that's a problem. I think they've said all the right things, but their actions are different than their words. You know, if they stand pat at the deadline, which I think is a possibility, because anybody will want Kuminga, and I don't think the Warriors want to give him up. So if they stand pat, and they have another season, like another month, like they did in December. I mean, I don't think Curry's just going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, kumbaya, and you know the vibes are good, and so we're all right with, you know, just going 4-9 for the next 3 months. Like I don't think that's in his DNA personally.
So I'm reading the text line here, and it says Devone wants Zion on the Warriors so he can feast with him at the House of Prime Rib, which, by the way, in La Taqueria, and I don't know this last place, Fogo de Chao.
It's a Brazilian steakhouse on 3rd Street.
Okay,
I think they have a couple of them, but it's an all-you-can-eat Brazilian steakhouse.
So the House of Prime Rib has...
That would be dangerous for Zion.
So the House of Prime Rib was really sort of popular back in my day, or back when I was like...
That's where all the Niners used to go eat, right?
Yeah, it used to be sort of a coat and tie and older gen, but it's made a huge comeback. It's like really in vogue now with sort of Gen Y. Like a lot of
Van Ness.
Right on Van Ness, yeah. I didn't think younger people ate red meat. anymore, but...
Well, I do. So I've never been there before, though.
So, the House of Prime Rib, it's funny because the text line saying that, you know, that's a place that Zion Williamson would frequent. There's a guy named Mel Turpin who played at the University of Kentucky, and he was a good basketball player but had a weight issue. And so Kentucky plays in a small college town called Lexington, Kentucky. And literally at the McDonald's, there was a sign, yeah, that said, that had his picture with a line through it. And the coach said, do not feed this man. At the local McDonald's in Lexington, Kentucky. So maybe we can do something to that degree.
Now, I've never heard... Thank you. I've never heard of someone not being allowed to be fed. I have heard of bars that were not allowed to serve particular athletes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Specifically in Eugene at the University of Oregon.
Let me guess.
Well, I'm not going to give you the athlete's name, but it's around the time...
Why can't we? It's not public knowledge?
Well, no. I'm not just going to call him out for being an alcoholic.
Oh, well, I didn't want to go there, but I mean, is it...
Well, he was. I mean, that's...
Well, then that's public... No, I mean, I don't think saying his name is... Like, I'm assuming...
It wasn't LeGarrette Blount. All right. But my point is, like, around the time I was in college, 2012, it was around... DeAnthony Thomas into Marcus Mariota, and then around a little bit after, there was a fifth-year quarterback that had a problem. But they weren't allowed to serve this guy. Like... Bars were told, get this guy out of here after a win on game day because he will do some damage and he could hurt someone else. So I've never heard of a person being denied a plate of food. Like, what if I literally haven't eaten that day? I'm just hungry. Like, I realize, oh, also the one thing I found out about Zion, which could bolster your point. Did you know he has a weigh-in clause?
Yeah. So you can get out of it. The contract.
Well, you can't get out of it, but it becomes non-guaranteed, so you don't.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, you can. There are loopholes because of his weight.
Yeah. So this year, but it also has to do with games played. It's not just his weight. So I think it's like his body mass index plus his weight. It's got to be around 295. He's like 7 weigh-ins during the season, and if he makes weight but plays less than 50 or 60 games or something, then his contract becomes partially guaranteed. So this season, he ain't going to play 50, 60 games. Yeah. If you get him, next, I think the last 2 years of whatever his rookie max extension was, they become non-guaranteed. So it's not a financial commitment, but you do risk also being a bad basketball team because I think you're going to have to give up something for him.
Well, just that's to make just it. Money How with. Much can you, would you, that's the bottom line, is what is it that you would give up for?
Well, you'd probably have to give up Wiggins and something else, because I don't think New Orleans would want, like, in a perfect world, I would actually try to swap Draymond for Zion.
They wouldn't want Draymond.
Exactly. So you'd have to give up Wiggins. And
that's a mess out there, by the way, in New Orleans. Complete mess.
Have they won 10 games yet?
That's just absolutely embarrassing.
Well, their entire team is hurt, and they don't know what they're doing. Well, New Orleans also is... been down bad lately. Thoughts and prayers. But the Zion thing to me, if you get that guy, you are, I don't know, to me it's a risky move, obviously, but I don't think it's because you're trying to win in the immediate, which isn't the message that we've been receiving from the Warriors.
Somebody in the text line saying it's Justin Herbert, which there's no way in hell.
No, Herbert wasn't the guy directly after Mariota. That's all I'll say.
I don't see Herbert as having
Herb's fine.
Yeah.
That's my white knight, by the way.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I love me some
Justin
Herbert.
Isn't he a mechanical engineering major or something? He's like a really, really smart guy. Is that overblown?
I don't think he's as smart as people purport him to be. Like, anytime you have a major in college that's something other than economics or physical education.
I don't know, man. I went to school with some guys that were engineering majors, and I would look over at their books and their homework and like, what the hell is that?
No. Herbert's a smart guy. I think it might have been bio or something scientific. But I don't think he's not Andrew Luck, okay? The guy isn't doing aeronautical engineering through school. Also, I have something against... I'm just not a big fan of Oregon.
Let's get out to the phone lines at 888-957-9570 and just the middle of the country to Ohio. And I want to hear from Nick. Nick, where in Ohio are you from?
I live in Springfield, the infamous Springfield, Ohio.
where the Simpsons are located, and there is a where's the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I think that's Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah. Okay. Either way. What's going on, Nick?
I've been following back in the Midwest here. I've been starting to take an interest in the Detroit teams again. I grew up in the Detroit area. I've been watching Piston games, and here's a team that last year was 14-68, something like that. And this year they're almost at 500, and they got some young players who are hungry. They defend, they play hard. They have some height. I compare those to the Warriors, who are in the middle, just spinning their wheels. I mean, as far as progress, I think you got to bite the bullet and you got to go younger, rebuild, do it now. And if you're really a Warriors fan, I know I love Steph Curry. You know, he's the greatest. I know this isn't popular, but you got to, I think, trade him as soon as you can for some prospects and young players. It's just, I just think that I bet the Pistons will have a better record next year than the Warriors if the Warriors keep trying to get aging stars. So that's where I'm at.
What's your favorite Pistons teams of all time? Do you go back to the Chauncey Billups days? Is that it?
I really like the Bad Boys, but you know, in retrospect, they were some pretty nasty characters. So, but that was the most fun for me, and what I remember the most.
All right, Nick, we got to get to a break, but we'll talk about it. Yeah, the Detroit Pistons are a team that's on the upswing with, you know, Beasley and Cade Cunningham, Dern and company. But Steph Curry. I hear it from time to time. It's just not happening, people. It'll never happen, nor should it. We'll continue the conversation about the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry. Uh-oh. All right. Maybe Evan's going to be the guy that's going to send him someplace. We'll talk about it next on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. I'm reading the text line. It's Evan Giddings and Stan Avone. So back when Don Nelson apparently was coaching the Warriors, this is according to the 510 on the text line, there's a story that Nelson shows up at the hotel room of Victor Alexander. I remember him with his room service order. I remember there was a story. Do you remember there was a pitcher by the name of, I know this because he was the legend in Hawaii, Sid Fernandez. El Sid, who used to be part of that Met team with Ron Darling when they beat the Boston Celtics and the ball went through the wickets of one Bill Buckner. Sid Fernandez, the heavy-set left-hander who never really fulfilled his promise. But I remember in Fort Lauderdale, because he had a weight clause, and there was a pitcher, I forget his name, that was trying to make the squad, and it came down to him and Sid Fernandez, and he would order like 8 Domino pizzas and have it delivered to Sid Fernandez's room, just hoping the big fella would crush him in the middle of the night.
That's that's borderline major league-ish. Like when the movie I'm talking about, when they'd stick the red sticker in the other guy's locker just to mess with them, start doing different things. That's pretty funny. That's borderline diabolical, to be honest.
Giddings, Devone, and Zion in San Francisco, once again, 650, and the text line. Look out, Bay Area, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out, and Taco Bell. I've never had In-N-Out. Are you a fast food guy?
Not really. I mean, I'll have it every once in a while, like, so when I drove up to SAC on my way back that night, like there wasn't anything open, so I had some Taco Bell. But you can, I don't know. Fast food is really doing it for me.
In-N-Out, is it as advertised? It seems as though In-N-Out and Five Guys I always hear about.
Devon, you've never had In-N-Out?
I've never had it.
And you've lived here your whole life?
I know. Well, where is it? Down in the Fisherman's Wharf? There's only one, right?
There's only one in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Second most profitable one in California, actually.
Yeah, no, I know.
That sounds about right. Dude, but I'll tell you what. Past 10 p.m., the stuff that you can see at In-N-Out Burger in Fisherman's Wharf, there are stories to tell. because it could be a fight going on outside. It could be some people throwing fries at somebody else. There could be a food fight. There could be, number one, you're always going to have to wait like a half hour. But while you're waiting in line, the amount of things that go down in that place is just, like, I would never want to work at that In-N-Out Burger if I was to work at In-N-Out. And it's pretty good, but I think it's overblown by a lot of Californians, which is why it has a bad rap.
Well, what's the place that sells, I'm looking at it right now, fried chicken and waffles down south?
Waffle House?
Oh, that thing is like...
Now, Southern
that's
fast food...
That's an MMA fight in the middle of the night.
...is a whole different ball game. Dude, when I lived in North Carolina, we had Zaxby's, it's a chain, extremely good chicken. Waffle House, obviously. That's also more about the stories, because that place is open until like 3 a.m.
And
a lot of the diners.
You better be packing if you're going in that place after 2.
Well, I don't know if you want to be packing, but you want to make sure that other people are not packing. And then my favorite, though, was Cookout. Cookout was really good. You could get this like 2-entree for $8 combination. You get like a quesadilla and a burger, but then they have like 50 different flavors of milkshakes. So you get a peach cobbler milkshake, a quesadilla, and a double cheeseburger for like $10. Dude, it was diabetes just walking around.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, does that come with an angioplasty?
Yeah, West Coast fast food has got to step its game up.
All right, it's time.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Once again, he's a regular. We just got to give him some intro music. Austin, San Jose, enough said. What's on your mind today, Austin?
Hey, fellas, happy New Year. I can't believe it, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, Evan, I'm a little surprised, man. I got to push back. You came into the show today sort of settling for mediocrity. I mean, they won a game against the Sixers. And by the way, the Sixers don't, you know, the Warriors aren't worried about the Sixers. They need to figure out how they can beat the other teams in the West. The Sixers are going to make the playoffs, believe it or not. I'm not sure about our Warriors. So, with Snigsy number two, Kuminga, man. I mean, listen, I've been a fan of his from day one. Even when people wanted to throw him out of here, I was always the Kuminga guy. But I will say this. I'm not sure that in the current scheme, current roster, even though Kuminga is excelling right now, at least in terms of what we've seen lately, can we win with him? No. Is that a team you can put in the playoffs? And I know that, you know, it's great that Kuminga's developing and all these guys are developing. And by the way, Dre and Steph could give a damn about whether these guys develop a lot. Don't kid yourself. They care about playoff appearances, building their legacies, building their brands. So they start the season with saying, can we pencil ourselves into the playoffs? That's what Steph and Dre driven by, not by can we struggle to make the play in. So let's focus on what matters to the guys that have done it already. It's a great story that we're playing better. We're still mediocre, and Steph said that. He said we're mid, so we don't have to guess about what he thinks. He told us what he thinks. Buddy Hield needs to go. Draymond's made that pretty clear, although I thought it was a little rude the way he went after him, but he's basically saying Buddy's not part of he doesn't see Buddy as part of a winning formula. So that brings me to Butler. Never been a big fan of Jimmy Butler for the reasons you guys said. Sort of seems to have issues with people and a little bit of toxic, but I would hesitate to say that he wouldn't make the Warriors a playoff team. I think he actually would. Stars like to play with other stars. So to say that it wouldn't work or I wouldn't do it or he wouldn't make us better, Evan, I don't know how you could really say that. I would disagree with it. I think he actually would make us better. And I think if you're talking playoffs, I think he definitely puts us in the playoffs and then we see what happens. But to this team right now, you're not going to sell me on the fact that this team is a playoff team. I'm just not buying
it. Austin,
I'll keep listening.
Do I sound like Devone? No, I'm serious. I feel like I was the one proposing that they go get Jimmy Butler, and Devone's the one that's out.
I think you want to come after me there, Austin.
Yeah, but you sort of backed off it by saying, yeah, but he's a toxic guy, and you get into the contract. Listen, guys,
I was listing the reasons of the Warriors' report of why they're not pursuing him.
And I think that's a bad thing. Don't you guys find that to be really kind of concerning, that a team that's mid, according to the staff, is not pursuing? Why? The question is, why wouldn't you be pursuing? And particularly with the current team, which at the best is you might get a six, you might sneak into the six, you're more likely to be a playing team. So anybody that could get you into the dance, why wouldn't you be looking at it? If you don't like Butler, tell me someone else, guys. Don't tell me you're going to ride this team to the end. That doesn't make a lot of sense, guys. I'll keep it.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah, no, I actually agree with him. That's the reason why I was going through the Slater and Amick report, is because I think those are the same reasons that we've heard the Warriors not go and acquire a big name player. It sounds like the same rhetoric we've heard for the better part of a season and a half, as the Warriors have gone in the wrong direction. So my issue is with the messaging from the front office, which is we want to maximize the window and we want to help Curry, whatever they purport. I'm not seeing it. And so Jimmy Butler, I think, is a player that absolutely could help the Warriors. But I don't think that the Warriors are going to want to go get him, because, again, it's like every time a player starts playing, well, we can't move him. Why can't you include Wiggins? Like, why can't you? Because he's the only guy that's worth anything for them right now. He's the only guy that can help them get a better player. I think if in a vacuum, if I just told you could swap Wiggins for Butler, would you do it? It can't work financially, but would you do it?
I would.
Yeah, I would too. And that to me is kind of what that's what I would be interested in. But again, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. And I think we're going to end up at the deadline in a similar place we were last year, which is a minor move. And we might have already seen it because Schroeder's here. But people are going to be left wondering what direction this thing is going in.
Well, if you're mid and you're a middling team in any sport, to me there's always two options. Either you start anew, as I've suggested, and get younger, and then look to rebuild, reset, transition so that you're a good, young, up-and-coming basketball team in the next year or two or longer, or you look to cash in right now and try and find those pieces to become a relevant basketball team as we speak. To me, that's not an option, because so let's just say Jimmy Butler comes here for Wiggins straight up,
yeah,
or Draymond. Chances are, as far as I'm concerned, you're not going to the Western Conference Finals. You're not winning an NBA championship. I could be wrong. But if it doesn't work, which is highly likely, well, then what? Now you got Jimmy Butler, a year older, in his mid-30s. You know Steph is going to be 37, and you know Draymond's going to be 36. You would have just mortgaged part of your future in draft picks, because I'm assuming if Riley's going to trade this guy, he's going to want something in return that's going to fit that of the Miami Heat. And so they're going to want picks, or they're going to want younger players. And so now you just mortgaged younger players. It may include, who knows, a Trayce Jackson-Davis and draft picks for a Jimmy Butler and a Golden State Warrior team that just got older. So now what? I guess is sort of the question at the end of the day.
Well, now what is you try and go as far as you can. I don't think it's extremely far, but you give it a run, and then you assess from there. I mean, it is interesting to me, though, Dan, because you are of the mindset that this Warriors organization needs to rebuild. I actually think that Jimmy Butler, if you mortgage your younger players, puts you closer to what you want, which is being in the lottery. Because if you don't win, and Jimmy Butler leaves, or maybe he stays and is the injured version of himself and he's a malcontent, like, you're not a good team anyways. So you end up closer to being a lottery team either way, because you put an end date to the timeline that is Curry's quote-unquote window. Like, I think what fans are frustrated with is that
I think you get
they haven't chosen a side.
You get quicker to a rebuild in a lottery without having to deal with Jimmy Butler and that contract. And all Jimmy Butler could do is make you maybe get to the playoffs and prolong the inevitable.
Well, for a year, though. I mean, it's not like you're saying Jimmy Butler is going to help you make the playoffs for the next three seasons.
I'd rather just... Why prolong what's going to be an it's just imminent that this is a team that's going to have to go in another direction. And that's what the mistake that mid-teams always make is that they look towards the glass being half full and they look over the fence and saying, hey, what can we do so that we can join, you know, the better half of the Western Conference? When really sort of the smart way to approach it is, look, if this is going to work long term, we're going to have to make some sacrifices today. And I know Lacob and Steve Kerr and Steph Curry, and that's why it's this conundrum, because it's so difficult. And it always gets back to, do dynasties ever end well? No, and this is why. But I do think that at some point you cannot continue down this road. At some point you've got to accept the fact. And the facts are that you're a team that's comprised of Buddy Hield, of Dennis Schroeder, of Lindy Waters, of GP2, of Kyle Anderson, Looney, and company. And that does not stack up to where the Western Conference or the elite are, the NBA. So there's only one way out, and it's not Jimmy Butler, and it's not one player away. It's about, you know, it's about finding a new foundation. And I think it starts with the lottery and Zion Williamson.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about Zion.
Yeah,
Do you know when Zion's on, though? You got to admit, like last year, he's as close to unstoppable. I mean, him and Giannis and Jokic.
Yeah, so why do you think he's available?
Because he's been hurt in high school. He was hurt in college, and he was hurt his first day in the NBA.
Yeah, that's...
I admit that there's a high level of risk, but if it hits, it all depends on what it is that I'm going to... If I can, you know, I'm willing to take the risk if you want fill in the blank. You know, players that I'm willing to discard.
Yeah, I would be willing to give up a decent amount for a player of that caliber. But, you know, again, it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're hoping that Zion transforms into something that he's never been, which is a healthy and dependable player. So, you know, but that also gets you closer to the lottery, because if he doesn't play, which is probable, then your team's going to suck and you're going to end up like the New Orleans Pelicans. The issue in this all is, and I don't even know if it's an issue, but I think the biggest piece we're missing is Curry. Like, I personally, this is where you and I differ.
Yeah.
I don't think that Curry is going to be content with this team middling, being mid, or being below average, yeah, which they've been for the last month, for the remainder of his career. I just don't.
Yeah, I never said content, but go ahead.
Well, but you don't think that he would do anything to force the organization's
no,
hand?
I don't.
I disagree. I think that if this team misses the playoffs like they did last year, and they don't really do anything this summer to try and upgrade the roster, they lean more into their younger guys, maybe they use a lottery pick that they have, they go get a nice player, but let's say it's like a 19-year-old, they draft a project. Curry's going to be like... Joe, like, seriously, like, what do you want from me? And I realize the Warriors are paying him max money, and he's well compensated, but I just believe he's more of a competitor than that to just go silently into the night for what's left of his career. I think if you don't do anything, either at this deadline or this summer, that improves your roster and helps you move closer to the postseason. Not even closer to necessarily being a contender, but you cannot miss the playoffs with Curry still on the roster back-to-back seasons and not risk the possibility of him not retiring a Golden State Warrior.
I'm rolling the dice, and I know it's a bit of a risk, and I would never make this public, but I think Steph Curry, and you and I talk about this all the time, is one of one. Now, what it is that you just said clearly was applicable to, you know, Karl Malone back in the day and any player.
Well, Malone didn't have four championships.
But any player that wants to win another one, however it is.
Gary Payton did the same thing.
That wants to either win their first or maybe wants to win another one, because that's who they are. I just don't think that Steph Curry, and again, I just think he's different. He's so different that we've never seen anybody like this as far as what it is that he does on the floor, but more importantly, off the floor. He's just wired differently. And I do think that quality of life, I always get back to this, that being entrenched in this area, the community, what it means to be with one basketball team. Now, You're going to have to sell it on him. You can't just simply say, well, we're in a rebuild mode, and can you just, you know, go off to the sunset with a really crappy team? And that therein lies sort of like the Steve Kerr, Lacob, Dunleavy relationship with Steph Curry. It's just how you frame this to him. And it cannot be, we're not going to be good, and then you're going to retire. It's just, you've got to be a salesman a bit here. But I do think that Steph, at the end of the day, and Lacob will not trade him. Lacob, if Steph Curry says, look at, you know, it's going to be pick a lane here. If you go in that direction, then you need to trade me. I think Lacob would cower and say, okay, what is it that you want? If it really comes to a head, because there's no way Lacob, first of all, wants to be that guy, that owner that traded Steph Curry, nor, again, I always talk about that this guy is a business tycoon, and he knows that Steph Curry prints money. And at the end of the day, that's really what this is all about for Lacob. I know Lacob wants to win, but Lacob is about revenue models and making money. And Steph Curry does that. And you can't even quantify how much money he means to this team as long as he's associated with the Warriors when it comes to merch, when it comes to all of those things. You know who is aware of it is Lacob. And there's no way. The minute Steph Curry puts on a Laker uniform, puts on a Charlotte uniform, puts on, and that team now gets all the money. Like, all of a sudden, they get the wand. All of a sudden, Squid Game is back.
Squid Game. Look, I don't think the Warriors would ever trade Curry. What I'm talking about is the Warriors doing nothing and settling for, as Austin accused me of, which is fine, for mediocrity, and just expecting him to do nothing and collect game checks. Like, I'm sorry. I know that Curry's a nice guy, and he's a great dude, and he's a model citizen, and he's a fantastic face. But to me, you run the risk of pissing that guy off if you do nothing. If you lean more into a rebuild and a reset, I'm not even bringing Draymond Green into this, because to me, he's not important in the way that Steph is. But I think the Warriors, if they choose to do nothing, he does not have an everlasting thread of patience. Like, I don't think that his patience is just some infinite tank. I think it will eventually run out. And especially if you are selling the fan base, maybe even him, on this idea that help is coming, and then the help never arrives, I don't know. I think you set yourself up for what you don't want, which is Curry not being the perfect guy that he's been his entire career. Like, you don't want to mistake his kindness for weakness.
I'm just reading this verbatim. What about Kobe? The Lakers had losing records the last 3 years before he retired.
Yeah, and that was after Kobe tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Now, but to be fair, Kobe said that he wouldn't retire, or he wouldn't stick around and be, you know, a mid player. Like, the moment he couldn't score 25 and help a team win, then he would retire. And that didn't end up happening. Dirk Nowitzki retired in Dallas. And I think his last season, they won 20-something games. But to me, I think Kobe was at the point where he was still obviously competitive, but he knew that based on his injury, he wasn't a guy that could go somewhere and help you win a title. If Curry believes that he can still be the difference on a championship team, and he is as desperate to win as he says he is, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, not this year, maybe not even next year, but down the line. Again, it's, to me, what the Warriors have to weigh is, are they willing to risk him not retiring a Warrior in order to reset and rebuild?
Yeah, and as I said, they'll never let him go. They just won't.
I'm not talking about them letting him go. I'm talking about him letting them go.
Well, either way, they have to trade him, right? In order for him to go get that fifth ring.
Yeah, so the moment, like, if he talks about moving somewhere else to end his career, they just say sorry, stick it out?
No, I think that before it gets to that point, I do think that Lacob would say, okay, uncle, what do you need? All right, let's. You're serious about moving. I can't do that. So let's go ahead and get your players, or let's go get in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes.
Well, I think that's where we're at now. It's like Curry's not going to be as good at age 39 or 40 as he is at age 36 or 37.
But I don't know if Curry has come to the point where he's just like, I want up and out of here. Like, make this happen, this trade deadline. Maybe it has. But I don't know that we've reached that threshold. If we do, I do believe that Lakeham will acquiesce. I really do. But I don't know that Curry has given ultimatums now.
No, I don't think he has, and he may not. But my point is that what I'm trying to emphasize is that this is an important deadline and an important summer. Because if you don't do anything, then next year, if the team is mid, like I have no reason to believe it won't be because you haven't gotten any sort of upgrade, or your play, unless, and that's maybe the reason why I feel like Kuminga is the only player that I don't want to give up at this point, because to me he's the only realistic player that can take a big enough leap to help them compete. Not even for a championship, I'm just talking about for the playoffs.
But wouldn't you agree that Steph knows what's up? I mean, he's aware. He's just, I would say, when it comes to making these decisions, he knows what's out there. And so when people say, well, go get him a player, Steph would probably be the first to admit it, although he'll never say it publicly. Like, even I'll admit that there's no one out there that's going to help me win a title. Like, what it is, I think he realizes that the Warriors' hands are tied to a certain degree. I don't think Steph is, we got to give him more credit in terms of being awake and aware of the market. And there's, Giannis isn't available. The Joker isn't available. Luke is not available. This idea that even Jimmy Butler, Steph is, he knows that this isn't a one player solution, I believe.
No. And I'm not talking about that. Curry's smart enough to know that he's not winning a title with this team. I think just what he's asking for is a chance. Like, the other night, before the Sixers got obliterated by the Dubs, what, they lost to the Cavs, right? Curry, after that game, basically just said, like, this team is average. Like, we're not very good. That, to me, is him asking the front office to do something about it. You know, and he knows he can still impact it, but it's like, I don't know. Winning a fifth title in Golden State is going to be virtually impossible in my mind. But getting to the playoffs is not that big of an ask. Like, half the league, more than half the league, makes the playoffs. I think that's all he's asking for.
I agree with you there. And so maybe the rebuild has to be a little more subtle because of Steph. Like, let's get to the playoffs, but let's also lean in on the youth and go in another direction at the same time.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I know we got to hit a break here, but I think you hit the nail on the head last week when we were in the crossover by describing it as a transition. Not a rebuild, but a transition. And that's kind of what I think they're in the middle of right now.
Can we talk a little, what's Squid Game when we come back? And then we'll get into the Golden State Warriors.
I'll watch it in the break.
You're not watching Squid Game, man. You just... All right, we'll be back to talk about, if you want to get in on Steph Curry, 888-957-9570. Would you trade the guy? We'll talk about it next here. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, 95.7 The Game.